Father, we truly do thank you for being here with us this morning. We thank you, Father God, that you did receive us as we sang that last song for you. We thank you, Father God, that you are perfecting your children, bringing us to a place of complete surrender to you, Father. And Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and the angelic host. We do thank you, Father God, you never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's much to be said at this time in the body of Christ about holiness, righteousness, purity of heart, and taking a stand with God and not allowing the enemy to take you off the rock. Many people are walking in deception right now. And God put out the word that we're going to see a lot of people fall at this given time. Don't let that be one of you. Keep your hands in the hand of Jesus. And just let him keep moving you forward. We've never lived in a time where there's so much turmoil at one time. On the world, in the body of Christ, in our homes, in our job sites. You know, it's just everything that's evil that could go on is going on at this given time. I'm quite sure there's going to be gross darkness. So I'm quite sure there's going to be more evil than what we see right now. And now they're talking about the money's going to be bad at the end of the year. You know, there's nothing but negative talk out there. And so you have to keep your eyes on the cross. Keep reading your word. And stay positive at every turn. The enemy's playing really rough right now, dirty. And he doesn't care what he uses to take you out. God spoke to me this morning. He said, I never take my people out of church unless I have another church to place them in. And so if you say God took you out of a church and you're just sitting at home doing nothing, then you didn't hear God's voice. God always has, when he takes you out of one place, he always has another place to place you. So you can complete the work he's calling you forth to do. And that could be a little bit scary because a lot of people are saying God said and God didn't say. And they're in a bad place. So please don't say God said. If you just want to do something, just do it. But don't put God in the mix because then you're really in trouble with God. All right. We're going to talk about standing firm this morning. In Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and this angel delivers them. Now, you have to believe that. It's in the Word. You have to believe it, and you have to stand on it and trust God. In 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's read that again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It doesn't matter what people are saying about you. It does not matter what Satan is putting in front of your eyes. We have to stand steadfast at all times. There's going to be many times when we're just going to sit down and just cry. But when the crying's done with, get back up again and keep moving. You hear me? It's not bad to cry. God many times said, I'm weeping over my children. So if God can cry over his children, we can cry over ourselves. Right? Because all things are not going to be running smooth here pretty soon. And you're going to have to realize that you are flesh and blood. And you're going to have to understand you still have emotions. You still have feelings. And it's okay to cry. Just don't stay down in that pit. get back up again and move forward. God said, I am encamped around my children for such a time as this. For the world is spinning out of control and my churches are running in fear. Children, I ask you this day to stand in the gap for the lost and forsaken ones that do not know me. Stand firm, dressed in all your armor. Put on tender mercy. Let love abound all around. Never cause the new babies to stumble and fall. Keep yourself pure and holy no matter what the atmosphere. In other words, it doesn't matter what's going on around about you. You have your mind stayed on Christ and you keep it there. And you just keep praying and covering those who don't understand where you're at in Christ. Yeah, I don't care. In a family, not everybody's going to understand your walk with God. Because everybody has their own idea what their walk's all about. And so you stand where God has planted you in your walk with Him and stay there. Don't let anybody else cause you to come out of that stance. God is emphasizing that right now because that is a threat to the body of Christ. You know, the enemy will come and he will try to make you believe that you're not in God's perfect will. So that's why you have to know that you know that you know that God is calling you and talking to you and that he is using you right where you're at. God said, all things are lined up for such a time as this, and I have been calling you forth from the four corners of the earth. I know who are mine, and these are the ones that I have called forth. You have been in the furnace of affliction over and over again. You have been tested in every area of your life and have come forth as pure shining gold. And maybe you know you've been tested and retested and tried and tried and tried. And you think, will this ever end? I don't think so. I think that's going to go on until Jesus Christ comes back for his church. God said, I will clothe you in robes of righteousness as I send you forth to conquer on all sides. The enemy will have no place in you. He will flee from you as he did my son Jesus, for he knows he is defeated in your lives. You ever watch a wrestling match? You know, the poor guy, he's beat. But he just keeps coming back for more and coming back for more. I thought, why don't you just lay down? You know? And this is what the devil does to us. He just keeps coming at us and coming at us hoping we'll lay down. But we can't do that. Children, stand firm in your convictions. Let the entire church see that you will not compromise in your walk with me. For there are many antichrists that will come and question your walk with me. They are the ones that will say, did God say? They are the ones that will try to undermine all that you have received from me. The hour is late and the work's not yet completed. You must be about the Father's business. There is no more time to delay. Cast aside all those things that so easily beset you and come up hither into a realm where all things are possible. Remember, there is no impossible in my glory realm. Now, you know, a lot of us have been going through a lot of trials and tribulations here in the last 3 months. And the pastor said, well, you never should talk anything negative. That's not a negative talk. That is the truth. And that is where we were at. And but we can say God brought us through. See, they say, don't ever talk anything negative. That is not negative. You were in a pit, and God was with you in that pit, and God brought you up out of that pit. And he'll bring you out of that pit over and over and over again. You know, I've been reading about the disciples and what they had to go through over and over and over again. And they talked about what they went through to encourage the rest of the body of Christ. So why can't we talk about our trials and tribulations? When I was first born again, I felt like I could never be like the pastor because they were up here somewhere way above me because that's the way they talked. And they never let me know, hey, you know, a Christian does cry. A true child of God does go through trials and tribulations. But God is there for everybody. And you need to tell that to people. Because a lot of people say, I just can't do this thing. I just can't make this. Yes, you can. And then you give your testimony. You know, God says, we ever come by our testimony. A lot of people need to hear your testimony. Because there's a lot of people out there even committing suicide because they don't think they'll ever reach the goal that people that God tells them that they should reach. Well, if you're really not in sin, you shouldn't get sick. That's a lie. And so, see, a lot of people won't receive Christ because they believe something that isn't real. They believe we're all gods. And we never have any problems. Are you understanding this? God said, let your light shine. All right, one way to let your light shine is to say, you know, this is where I was at, and God was with me all the time, and this is where I'm at today. That's your light. That's your testimony. And that's going to bring a lot of people forth. So many on the fringe of destruction because they would not stay in their path but try to usurp another's authority. I have many that can take your mantles, and they will go forth accomplishing what I have foreordained them to complete. They will have their eyes upon me and only me. They are not out for earthly gain. Instead, all they want is total freedom for those that are bound. This will take complete unity. No more little eyes and big eyes, just total oneness. God says, keep your eyes on your path, what God has called you to do. And instead, you're trying to do somebody else's path, and that's messing you up. There's a lot of you in here, I could never do what you do. I just couldn't. That's not my calling. And so I'm not even going to try to do what you do. I'm going to let you do what God's called you to do, and I'm going to do what God's called me to do, and I'm going to do it with a lot of privilege that God has called me to do a special task. See, that's competition, and we shouldn't have competition in the house of God. All right, he said, there's no more little eyes or big eyes, just total oneness. God said, I have purposed in my heart to bring the lost to the cross at any cost. I have wooed those who would allow me to woo them into their places of authority, and now I'm ready to send them forth in total victory on all sides. He said, I am lifting the skirts, and you will see those who came in the back door. You will see them lose their ministry because they would not work in complete oneness with me. Have I not said woe unto those who would cause one of these to stumble? When you're out of your authority range that God has placed you in, you will cause people to stumble. Because you're out of your authority range, you already think you're all that and then some. And pride has already taken over. And you're going to cause other people to stumble. You know, I can't go out there and speak to the Spanish world because I don't speak Spanish. Astrid is called to speak to the Spanish world. All right, you see what we're saying here? And there's a whole lot of things that you guys are really, really talented. And I look at you and I say, God, these guys have it all together. You know, you don't really have it all together, but God has you all together in heavenly places. And whenever it finally gets to you, you understand what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to see a great move of God like we've never seen before. All right? And you need to understand, too, the greater your call, the more the enemy's going to fight you. The more he's going to try to make you believe, did God say? You know, come on. He's going to fight you with that. Is God really going to use you? All kind of things like this to discourage you and to bring you down. All right, let's just say Barbara's going through a whole lot of problems right now, and she's told her family how wonderful God is, and you know, they aren't really believing quite what she says, and they see her going through all these troubles, and they're saying, what kind of God do you serve? I know a lot of you people have said that. Your family said that to you, haven't they? Well, if your God is so great, how come you're sick? Or if your God is so great, how come you have financial problems? Whatever it is. If your God is so great, how come your kids aren't serving God? We're going to hear that over and over again, more and more, as years go by. We can't fall into that trap. We just can't. And God said he's going to deliver us from all evil, and he's going to do that. And then you see people who say, you go and give a testimony to your family. Oh, God is so great. He did this and this and this for me. And they're listening to what you say. They're watching what you do. Next thing you know, you backslid. Then they're going to say, well, what kind of God is this? That you backslide. See, we don't have the option to go backwards. Isn't that what God said? Because what you're doing is you're ruining your testimony and you're causing other ones to stumble. How many of you in the last 2 weeks you sit and cried? God. Right? That means all through crying, you wiped your snotty nose and got up and told the devil to get lost and went on, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. But the body of Christ isn't doing that. The body of Christ is staying down. I was telling Brother Aaron, I said, when I came in, I felt a sadness in the atmosphere. And now I know why it is. It's because that God is sad that his people aren't staying steadfast and they're not being a true testimony of what God can really do. All right? John 10:1-5 says, Jesus said, surely I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. When God first called me into the ministry, you know, I was having a terrible time because the body of Christ was coming against me, saying I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And so when I cried out to God about it, he says, my sheep know my voice. And no other voice will they follow. And he said, you know my voice. Follow my voice. Don't worry about what the other voices are saying. So I'm just telling each one of you this morning, follow the voice of God. Don't worry about what anybody else is saying about you. Follow the voice of God. And let him bring you forth. Let him make you a true testimony of what kind of God you really do serve. You don't understand that God is getting ready to do one of the biggest shows that he's ever done by bringing his glory and having this mass influx of lost souls. And he's been training each one of you so you'll be strong and you'll be able to, he'll be able to send you out there to work with these lost souls. And the enemy's trying to make you believe you don't hear God's voice. He's trying to make you believe that you can't do the thing God has called you for to do. And he's trying to make you believe that you'll never get out of your sin nature. Why is he doing this? So you won't be any use for God. Now, whose voice are you going to believe? You're going to believe God's voice? Or are you going to believe the enemy's voice? Come on. Brother Allen told me 3 years ago, God told him he was going to be heading up the deliverance team. He never told me that. He never tried to push his way. Just finally one day I said, I'm going to put you head of the deliverance team. He said, I know. God told me that 3 years ago. So he didn't get discouraged. He waited because he knew God's voice and he knew in God's perfect time that it was going to happen. How many of you do that? God tells you something, it doesn't happen overnight. You get all befuddled and do all kind of dumb stuff. God has a perfect timing for each one of us to step into what he's calling us forth to do. And I'm no different than you. I get sort of tired of waiting. I really do. I said, God, you said. And he said, yes, I did. And, you know, in his perfect timing, he will do exactly what he said he's going to do. And he doesn't tell you what you're going to go through from A to Z, does he? He does not tell you what you're going to have to endure to get from A, point A to point Z. There's a whole big gap there in the middle, and he doesn't tell you any of that. So somebody was saying something, and I said, okay, they said they've done all we can do. And I said, now what does God say? He just said, stand. When you've done all you know to do, and the things aren't changing, then it's time for you to just stand and let God do his part. God says, children, we do not have time for petty arguments. The work is great and not much time to complete the work. The church has become like the world in as much as it has become very competitive. There is no competition in Christ Jesus. We are all one body working together the same goal, which is souls. But when I say the body of Christ, we're not working for souls, we're working for positions. All right. You know, I was sitting at my desk this morning praying, and I thought, God, there's no way in the world I could ever get up there and flag like Grace does. That's her job. That's her position, to teach us how to flag. And some of you have been taught how to flag and you follow suit. But that's her job. I'm not even going to try to get up here and flag. Are you understanding this? And she said she has sciatica sometimes, and it really hurts her to flag. And I said, I have sciatica, and I can't even hardly walk. So how can I flag? You know what I'm saying? You know, that's her job. That's her position, not mine. And I'm not even going to try to learn it, because I have my own path to walk in. John 14:12 says, do you believe in Jesus? Then you can do the same things he did, even greater. And most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. We have to believe that we're going to do the very same things that Jesus did on the earth. So read your word in the red and see what Jesus did. And Jesus, right here in his word, said you're going to do the very same things, but even greater works than what he did. Jesus came for one purpose, and that was to fulfill the law. And then his purpose was completed, and he went back to the Father. You're here for a purpose. And I hope each one of you know what your purpose is. And you have to be like Jesus. Jesus went right along knowing who he was, but he never told anybody who he was. And he just kept doing the works that the Father sent him to do until his time was finished. Each one of us in here, we need to know what our work is and go ahead and work in that works until our work is finished and Jesus calls us on home. He doesn't give us a time to go. We aren't supposed to be on vacation. He always tells me, you have to work the works that I placed before your feet to work. In the same way with you. Why do you feel like you have to sit down? You know, why do you think you need a vacation from working for God? That's not true. Jesus didn't get a vacation. He worked. And he did a good work. Are you doing a good work for God? You know, when you stand before God, are you going to walk proudly up to him, or are you going to turn around and back up to him? Is he going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? I want you to think about this morning. God said, my son was never in competition. He knew his assignment and he stayed his course. You children must do the very same thing. You need to remember who you are in me, and you must work toward the goal and standards I have set before you. The one way the enemy destroys is by dividing and conquering. Why is this happening in the body of Christ? One simple word, humility. There is no true humility in the body. No one wants to be a servant. Everyone wants to be served and noticed. You know, I just looked back there, Brother Chris, and I was thinking, you know, God told him he's going to be in politics. There's no way I could be a politician. He could be a politician. He's crude. You know, you know, and he lets you know what's what. That's his job as a politician. As a politician, that's what he has. That's his personality has to be. I couldn't do that. You couldn't either, Aaron. I just couldn't do that. All right, you see this? Okay, Jesus was a servant leader. He said that he did not come to be served, but to serve. He was worthy of being worshipped as king, but yet washed the feet of his disciples and knowingly washed the feet of one who would betray him. That's in John 13:1-17. 1 Peter 5:5-6, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Let God exalt you. Everybody's trying to exalt themselves. My goodness. You're just opening the door really wide for the enemy to come in and attack you. God said, I am marching forward. Will you fall in total submission to what I have called you for to accomplish? Do not become a naysayer. Do not work your works, but follow what I have promised you. You know, God, too many people are trying to work their works, what they think they should be doing. They think God should be placing them in this position or that position, or God should be doing this or that, you know. And that's your works. It's not God's works. Well, I don't think I should have been sick either. But God knew that was going to happen, you know? And I can't get back there and erase my book of life, can I? I would have liked to. How about you? You know, but that's what we have to do. That's our book. And we have to walk out that book. Or walk away from God, whichever, you know, you so desire to do. John 14:12 says, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father." And then we read that before, but we're reading it again. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You know, we were created by God. You didn't create your own self. Sometimes I look at you and think you do. But you did not create your own self. You know, God did. And he knew, if you read the word, it's in the word, he knew everything that you were going to go through. And when I was really sick, I said, "God, I know you knew I was going through this, but why didn't you sort of give me a heads up?" You know? There are commands in Scripture that are repeated many times. The call to stand firm is one of those commands. It appears all throughout the Bible. 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." So all of you that were sick, you need to understand God never left you nor forsook you. He had to stand and watch you suffer. Just like he had to stand and watch his son suffer. What makes you any different? You know, God said my sickness was to teach me fortitude. I wish I'd learned that lesson before then. So whatever you go through, there's a purpose for what you're going through. There is really a purpose for what you're going through. We might not know it this second, but as we keep seeking God's face, he's going to reveal it to us. I had that reoccurring dream I have. I had it yesterday. And this, you know, I always had this dream where everything was real shiny, bright, and clean. And this time when I had it, it was young people, but they had dead leaves on them. You know how you have a plant and some of the leaves, and you had to strip them off. And that's what I was doing. There was a whole bunch of young people like that, and they had these dead parts on them. And I was going through just breaking off those dead parts, and somebody was going to help. I said, "No, don't help. You could injure them and kill them. I'm supposed to do this myself." And so now what God is showing me, you know, he's going to be sending the world in, and they're going to have some filth on them that we're going to have to clean up. But it's only as the Holy Spirit leads us do we do this. We have a lot of work ahead of us, saints. We really do. And it's not, some of it's not going to be pretty, but we can do it because God has trained us up to do it. And don't say, "I can't do this," because yes, you can. Yes, you can. And in this dream, I saw that it was very precarious. We had to be very, very, very careful how we cleaned these people up, well, these young people up. If not, we would destroy them. We can't use force. We have to use love and patience. Do you understand this? Even with our own kids at home, you know, sometimes, how many of you say, "Give me more patience, God"? Because you need patience in order to raise children. You're going to need patience to work with these lost people that God's sending in the house, because you know the world is a mess out there. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And we're going to have patience with them. Long suffering. Isn't that right, Alan? Long suffering. And sometimes you want to pull your hair out. I don't, mine's falling out. But anyway, when you pull your hair out, you say, "What, God, what can I do? I've done everything you're telling me to do, and still things aren't changing. What is it you want me to do?" Then you listen for God, and you do what he tells you to do. You don't do what you want to do. Even though you like to smack them a good one, you don't do that. That would destroy them. How do you stand firm in the faith? Three ways to stand firm in your faith. First, we have to know upon what or whom we are standing. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. So we have to know that we are standing on God. Second, we will have to resist the devil and his lies. When we are struggling with our faith, Satan will whisper words contrary to God's word. Third, we can't waver between faith and doubt. Years ago, God said to me, if you don't get out of your doubt and unbelief, I'm just going to take your mantle. He won't deal with faith and doubt and unbelief. You just can't do that. Either God is or God isn't. Either God said or God didn't say. Either he's with you or he isn't with you. All right, what does the Bible say about stand strong in what you believe? The Bible says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. I didn't write the scripture down. I'm sorry, but that is scripture. We really need to get a hold of this, because it doesn't matter what anybody's doing to us. God said he is there with us, and he's not going to forsake us. Barbara's going through a test right now, and, you know, she really has to stand firm on God's word, because the enemy's trying to destroy. Each one of us in here, the enemy comes, and we have to stand on God's word, or we will be destroyed. We have to have people praying for us who love us. I don't want anybody praying for me that doesn't love me. Because they can bring witchcraft on you like you wouldn't believe. And I just thank God today. I thank you, God, that I have a church full of people that love me and pray for me and not against me. You have to get under a prayer covering. And you have to have people that can pray for you or will pray for you, and they'll pray love. And they don't want to destroy you, but they want to see you grow. What does it mean to be standing strong? The meaning of standing strong is to simply endure, learn, and move forward. Endure, learn, and move forward. We all have a purpose in this world, even if we are not sure of what purpose, of that purpose. We all have a purpose in this world, even if we're not sure what that purpose is. And, you know, sometimes we know what it is, and other times, you know, God's changing our path a little bit, and he doesn't tell us right away, you know, and then we have to walk by faith. He's testing our faith, and then finally he'll say, well, I'm taking you in this direction. This is what I'm going to use you for, and this is what I want you to do. So if God has, all of a sudden you don't know where you're at, it's because God has changed your path a little bit. And he wants you to walk by faith like Abraham did. You know, if you know that, you know, if you know your scriptures, when you're sick and everything out and you're down and out and the devil's telling you one thing, you have to pull in those scriptures. Keep pulling in those scriptures. And that's what's going to bring you through your mess. It's pulling on God, you know, God's word. Not what he prophesied to you, but his word. In every Christian's life, there will be trials, disappointments, persecution, and temptations. Did you hear that? In every Christian's life, there will be trials, disappointments, persecution, and temptations. Every life. Just not the other person. But through all this, we must stand firm in Christ. We have to be on guard. Not only must we stand firm to these things, but we must stand firm to biblical truth. Many people who profess to know Christ are compromising with the world and are twisting scripture to suit their lifestyle. We see that over and over and over again. We hear it over and over again. We must continually spend time in the presence of the Lord, and we must pray for courage and boldness to do the will of the Father. The Antichrist are running rampant trying to get you to fall. The Antichrist are running rampant trying to get you to fall. Stand firm. Like this morning when I went to the Lord in prayer, he said, go to Isaiah 54. And I said, Isaiah 54. I just got up and must have been addle-brained. I said, Isaiah 54, there is no such a scripture. And I went to Isaiah 54. Of course, that's my scripture, you know. Now God said, now read it. Read it slowly. and let us sink in. So I read it real slow, and let us sink in. And that's God's promise to me. He hasn't changed, is what I'm trying to say. That's what he's trying to tell. I haven't changed. This is still my promise to you. So what is God's promise to you? Think about this. Aaron, you're under quite a bit of an attack in the atmosphere over you, God show me. And you have to be watchful and make sure you stand firm in what you know the truth is. You can't give in to the lie. Stand firm in what the truth is. And the reason why you're going through this is because God's getting ready to place you in a place, a secure place with him, and your ministry is going to start blossoming, and the enemy's right now trying to take you out. There's no place for doubt and unbelief in your life at this point. None. You have to know who you are. You have to know where God's taking you, and then just stand. All right? And I don't know the young lady's name, but God's been showing me that he's going to show you the truth of what he's doing in your life. And he wants you to persevere. Don't give up now, because you're getting ready to step into something really, really marvelous with God. And he's going to fall upon you, and the Holy Spirit's just going to overtake you. And he's going to start showing you things in the spirit realm. And you're going to know things before they even happen. And he says, just hold his hand and keep walking. A lot of things he's going to show you is just going to blow your mind away. And he's even going to take you up into the heavenly realm, and you're going to have a visitation with God. And he's telling you to just please keep walking and stand firm. And he showed me that you're just a babe in Christ. You don't know the fullness of who Jesus truly is, but he's going to show you the fullness of who he really is, and you're going to bring many to the cross. You have some problems, and God says he already knows about the problems. He's going to take care of those problems. And he's setting you in a solid, secure place this morning. You know, one thing we have to understand is that God knows us inside out, upside down, because he formed us. We have to understand that we were in heavenly places before we came into this place. And we have to understand it, that you had a talk with God and you said, okay, I'll go down there and I'll do this, this, and this for you. But he never showed you what was going to happen in between everything. But you made a promise to him that you would come down here and you fulfill your assignment. And God wants you to start fulfilling your assignments and start doing the things that God has called you forth to do. Instead of looking back or looking around about you, go forward and do the things God's calling you forth to do. And I'm hearing God say, this too shall pass. These things that we're going through right now, this too shall pass. Even though we don't believe that, God does not lie. So these things that have come on the scene right now, the things that are going on around about us, you know, the lies are being spoken against you, whatever it is, this too shall pass. All is well. Be still. Let me fight your battles for you. All these things that God has been teaching us, we need to now implement them and let God be in full and total control. All right, with me, you know, God told me what he was going to do in here with the glory and everything, but now I'm reading about where it's happening or a place else, but here. Do you know what that's doing to me? So I have to stand firm. I can't think, well, God's finished with me. God isn't going to do what he said. I must have done something to cause him to be upset with me. You know, all these things go through my mind. But I can't dwell on them. I have to stand firm on what God's spoken to me. And right before you're getting ready to step into the glorious thing that God has for you, the enemy's going to come at you with everything he has. Because he wants to stop you. You have to have somebody who you know really loves you and isn't going to go around and talk about you, that you can call and say, look, I'm really having a hard time today. I just don't know if I can make it. And you know that they'll pray for you. You know. All is well with your soul is what God's telling you this morning. Can you grasp hold of that? Can you understand that God is with you no matter what is going on around about you? And God's saying what some of you need is resurrection power. You need God's resurrection power to flow through you right now and to bring you up out of the mess that you're in and bring you up into the higher places with Him. And so if that's you, if you want to come up to the altar, God's going to anoint you with a deeper, more thorough resurrection power than He has before.